It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Violence from coast to coast calling for the murder of Jews as a people is not considered a crime, but is instead considered free speech. Meanwhile, popular presidential candidates, well, they deserve jail. Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, your host. The so-called peaceful free speech protests, aka anti-Semitic calls for another Holocaust against the Jews, are raging from coast to coast. It turns out that many of the people involved are outside professional agitators and organizers, not students, but there are a lot of students, and they're buying into this hideous narrative like complete and total idiots. While some outright deny the atrocities of October 7, many are admitting them and justifying them, celebrating them. It all goes back to that Marxist woke narrative that somehow Israel is a white country and Palestinians are dark, therefore the Jews are the oppressors because all white people are oppressors. Of course, I've been to Israel. There are many dark-skinned Jews, but that shouldn't matter. I seem to recall the words of Martin Luther King saying we judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. But either way, these students are not going to allow themselves to be confused by actual facts. Now, there is a little bit of good news. In some states like Texas, like Florida, and others, university presidents and governors are not standing for this. They've threatened the students with jail. They've threatened the students with expulsion. They've called in law enforcement. Other places with spineless university presidents and spineless governors are emboldening the protesters. UCLA is among the places where the violence is at its worst. The police were eventually called, but it took a while before the police arrived. After rioters took over part of the campus, the student protesters issued demands. Demands. You're going to love this. I'm going down the list. Hot food for lunch. The food must be vegan and gluten-free. Oh, well, of course, gluten-free. And no bagels. Naturally, you see, bagels are racist food because bagels are made by Jews. Okay, there are Gentiles that serve bagels too, but the Jews invented them, right? Continuing down the list, they want canopies. They want lotion, but no sunscreen because they're still concerned about the effect on the planet. They're still concerned about global warming. Go ahead and wipe out this entire people group on the planet, but the globe itself will be safe. Yeah, they want steroid inhalers, masks, ropes, zip ties, helmets, wood. Gee, anything else? And you should hear their defense. They have a right to demonstrate, but students don't have a right to go to the library, not if they're Jewish students, even though they pay through the nose for this fantastic college education. Meanwhile, on another campus, Northwestern University, the school has caved to the demands. They're promising to bring in visiting Palestinian faculty. They're promising to pay for the education of 5 Palestinian students per year. But President Biden has topped that. He's promised to bring in thousands of Palestinian refugees to our country. Refugees that other nations in the Middle East will not take. And some of them do that because they want to use those people for propaganda purposes. But a lot of them won't bring them in because they're violent, because they're terrorists. I've seen films of kindergarten classes taught in Palestinian territory that all Jews are devils, that Jews deserve to die. That's the ideology they're growing up with. And we're just going to bring them into our country indiscriminately without vetting them? Because Biden wants a few political points? Because he doesn't want to offend Arabs and Muslims living in the United States? I'm not saying all Arabs and all Muslims go along with the Palestinians, but this is Biden's reason. Meanwhile, the police were finally called into Columbia University, but only after all kinds of deadlines by the president to abandon their tent cities were ignored, and after the students commandeered Hamilton Hall in the name of peace on earth and freedom of speech. One of the protesters was asked how he felt about the fact that the police were coming. He said, "We'll be out of jail in 24 hours. Yes, the law in New York says people can't be held for crimes anymore. They must be released without bail. That's true for most crimes. And most serious crimes have been lowered to the status of misdemeanor by District Attorney Alvin Bragg. This has included people arrested for throwing bottles at police officers, people sucker punching women. Meanwhile, a real misdemeanor is elevated to the status of serious crime by Bragg because Bragg is the man who ran on a promise to get Donald Trump when he ran for district attorney. Bragg likes to brag. It was an arrest in search of a crime. They took a non-disclosure payment, claimed it was falsified in the books through a law where the statute of limitations had run out, connected it to an election violation, which should be a federal charge, not a local charge, but it was a federal charge that even Biden's DOJ found too weak to pursue. And if Biden's DOJ wouldn't go after Trump over that, nobody should have gone after Trump over that. Who would have been more motivated than Biden's DOJ? Even they wouldn't handle it. But oh, Bragg somehow connected the dots, and in this convoluted mess, he still can't state what the actual crime is, but it doesn't matter. They're having a trial, and it's being tried by a judge who contributed to the Biden campaign. As you know, this is just one of four trials that Trump is going through. If he gets any kind of conviction, and he will, some might conclude that that makes him a criminal, simply by nature of the fact that it went through the court system. This court, my friends, by that logic, Jesus was a criminal. He was also tried by a kangaroo court. But the best is the gag order issued by the judge. Trump is not allowed to talk about the case. Trump is not allowed any free speech here, but Cohen is. Michael Cohen, chief witness for the prosecution, he talks about it. He talks about it on social media all the time. So let's add this up. Students are allowed to do violence. Students are allowed to call for genocide. That's considered free speech. Real free speech is taken away from a presidential candidate by a judge who voted for his opponent in a world that would make Superman's bizarros blush. Now, let's back up. Let's review, because these protests have not only been happening on college campuses, but other places. Let's review the Middle East issues that have been affecting American news so acutely. For one thing, in addition to the Hamas attack, you will recall that Iran has attacked Israel. And even before Israel retaliated, they eventually did, but even before they retaliated, there were protests against Israel because of Iran's attack on Israel. Remember? They aren't mad at Iran. They're mad at Israel. Yes, Israel. How dare Israel exist, making Iran want to destroy them? The last time people were this angry at Israel was back in October, when Hamas raped women, stuck children into ovens, murdered parents in front of their children, murdered children in front of their parents, and Israel was painted as the aggressor from college campus to college campus and in cities like New York. Now, like I said, these protests are going on all over the country, but particular attention is being paid to New York City at subway stations, closing down the Brooklyn Bridge. It seems they're upset with Joe Biden. Why? Because the Biden administration helped to shoot down some of these missiles. And by the way, about 99% of them were shot down from Israel, their Iron Dome, but some of it came from America. The Biden administration did help them. Let's acknowledge that. But honestly, I don't really think these protesters have much to worry about regarding Biden. Yes, he tells Israel he has their back. He says a lot of things. Sooner or later, an idiot will say anything. He tells Israel he has their back, but then he tells them not to retaliate against Iran. And he tells them to stop fighting with Hamas, to have a ceasefire. And he tells them they should get rid of Netanyahu as their president. and not have a president that's so hawkish. But why does he tell Israel that he has their back? Why is he playing it both ways? Because, believe it or not, and my fellow Jews can be their own worst enemy, a lot of Jews in America are still used to voting Democrat. They're caught in a time bubble. They're still electing Franklin Roosevelt to stop Hitler. They haven't realized that life moves on. But anyway, whatever the reason, Jews are still voting Democrat, but there are a lot of Muslims that vote Democrat, and these Muslims are upset with Biden for taking Israel's side. So like the spineless, weakling, imbecile political hack that he is, Biden tries to have it both ways. Back to New York City. In subway cars, people took over the subway shouting anti-Semitic chants, saying they were proud of Iran for attacking Israel. "Iran, you make us proud," the group shouted. One eyewitness said that was one of the scariest things. When I was able to look at them, I noticed how easily they are chanting that they wanted to kill Jews, to get rid of Jews, to destroy Israel, destroy Zionists, bring destruction to America. Yes, bring destruction to America. My fellow Americans, it's not just about Israel. It's about America. And out at the Brooklyn Bridge, U.S. flags were being burned, and they shouted, "Death to America." Now, the Supreme Court ruled in 1989 that it was okay to burn American flags. Not okay, but protected under the First Amendment, protected under freedom of speech. As you know, I've been a huge advocate for free speech, and that includes political speech. I say what I want about Biden. I allow for people to say what they want about Trump. I don't tell them that it's illegal to say things about Trump. We can have disagreements. We can have serious disagreements. That is protected by free speech. But my friends, when they're burning the American flag, when they're shouting death to America, they mean, by definition, they don't want America to exist anymore, which means America's Constitution would not exist anymore. You can't say that you want to see it shredded along with all the other rubble in a dead America, and then turn around, have it both ways, and claim that the Constitution, the very Constitution you want to get rid of, protects your freedom of speech. A lot of the people doing this are foreign exchange students. They should be sent back immediately. Other people who may not be students but are here on some other kind of visa, they should be sent back to their countries immediately. You don't like it here? Leave. You want to see us dead? Leave. And if people are already American citizens and they're saying the same thing, and many are, I say the same thing. Revoke their citizenship. Kick them out. And it's not just regarding the Middle East. I would say the same thing when communists are protesting. I would say the same thing when Nazis, American Nazis, are holding a rally. They get protected too. But those organizations, again, do not believe in the philosophy of our Constitution. They should have their citizenship revoked. It will never happen. It will never, ever happen. But it should. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Here's some interesting news, and it's news about the news. MSNBC host Nicole Wallace offered a grave warning for journalism should President Trump get reelected in 2024. Talking about the White House Correspondents Association dinner, Wallace said, behind the levity, though, there was something darker, a darker undercurrent, if you will. And it was profoundly serious. She was referring to some comments that President Biden made about how it'll be the end of democracy should Donald Trump get elected. This from the guy that wanted Trump's name taken off the ballot. This from the guy that wants to see Trump sent to jail so that he can't be a candidate. These are the people that are afraid of democracy ending. Back to MSNBC host Nicole Wallace. She says, because at this exact time next year, depending what happens in November, 7 months from now, we can't say for certain that there would even be a White House Correspondents' Dinner. I just don't know what I would do if we didn't have another White House Correspondents' Dinner, but I digress. I will let her finish. We can't be certain there would even be a White House Correspondents' Dinner or even a free press or even a White House press corps. Well, Nicole, I'm sure you'd be missed, assuming anybody has ever even heard of you. Anyway, just the latest in a series of dire predictions about all the freedoms we'll be missing should Trump become president. Miss Wallace, Trump was already president for 4 years. What part of that do you not understand? They had your precious White House Correspondents' Dinner. And who did he ever censor? Who did he ever arrest from your profession? And as far as press conferences go, never mind the press dinner, what about press conferences? No president in history has ever made himself as accessible. He spoke to the press day after day for the longest periods of time. Never did he shy away from questions, and that was noteworthy since so few of the questions were real questions and were instead vicious attacks or self-righteous sanctimonious lectures made to sound like a question. Mr. Trump, some would say that you're more concerned about businesses being open than on the COVID quarantines. Would you care to comment on that? Would you care to comment on the fact that you seem to be putting money ahead of lives? Yeah, those kinds of insightful, probing questions. But he was always available. True, he used the word fake news, but that designation has been vindicated. Story after story, they got wrong. For years, we were hearing about Russian collusion. That's been completely disproven. And what about the cover-up, the shutdown of journalism to not cover Hunter's laptop story? That's all common knowledge now, what happened there. Of course, we never seem to hear any apologies. I don't recall hearing any. So now you have President Biden. How are those press conferences working out with him? Occasionally, once in a blue moon, his handlers will release him instead of making him take his morning nap, and then Joe goes up there with crib notes. He's told ahead of time who to select out of the raised hands to make sure he doesn't get Fox News or somebody like that. The questions that the correspondent du jour is about to ask is written out for him. His answer is written out for him. They must have forgotten to warn him not to read the question ahead of time, but to make it look like he didn't know what the question was going to be. And of course, when he uses a teleprompter, it's not much better. 4 more years. Pause. Somebody needs to tell Joe to stop reading his stage directions. It doesn't work too well. But they still slobber over him. Howard Stern says he's the best president he can remember. And what about Drew Barrymore? She's a fine actress, but oh, as an interviewer, as a so-called journalist, she's interviewing Kamala Harris, blubbering all over her, saying, "We need Kamala as our mamala." Isn't that sweet? Brings a tear to my eye. Lest we forget, the Barrymores are a dynasty of actors. Goes back to John Barrymore. And remember Lionel Barrymore? He played the part of Mr. Potter in It's a Wonderful Life. Not the best character in the world. Good acting job, but despicable character. Yet even Potter would have said one thing true about Drew and her comment regarding our vice president. Sentimental hogwash. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books like certain movies where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, "I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down." Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob. I would say the whole line about slow news week, but more or less, this is just a disappointing news week, I have to say. You talked about it in your first monologue earlier about how the protests have gotten all out of hand across the nation, and it's still going on to this day. I mean, there are some that have finally moved on, like USC just announced that they ordered the protesters to leave their campus, and the protesters actually obliged. Surprisingly enough, I was surprised.
Well, when you stand up to bullies, they do back down.
Finally. But
when you embolden them and offer them half of your sandwich, they're just going to come back for the other half of your sandwich the next day.
Example again, Northwestern. I mean, I don't know why they fall through.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're going to fund 5 Palestinian students a year, free education. We're going to have 2 visiting Palestinian professors. And all they're going to give is all this vile hatred about Israel in America.
Right. And it's just going to cause a more hostile campus to begin with, which is what you don't want on your college campus in the first place. So some other stories that came about. Did you hear about the University of Michigan's commencement that happened?
No, this one I have not heard.
Over 100 Palestinian protesters interrupted the commencement, and they came up on stage and started protesting up on stage.
Isn't that wonderful? These students work hard for 4 years for their graduation. It has to get
so
interrupted by these total jerks.
Yes, exactly. And this isn't the first time these kind of protests.
And is any kind of retribution going to take place?
So far, I have not heard anything.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
Yep. But like you said, they spent so much money to do this whole thing and just to get interrupted. And of course, there's also been sporting events where this has happened too, where we're supposed to get a ball that's going to be tipped in the air to start the playoffs, or some baseball game's going to get started. And then, of course, running onto the field, there's a bunch of Palestinian protesters that are coming onto the field, interrupting everyone's time. There's a time and a place to do these kinds of things. Outside in a public area, I guess that's fine, but you need to make sure it's not violent. UCLA didn't do a good job of that situation. I mean, did you see that whole debacle?
Yeah, of all the ones I was watching on the news, and I know that just all kinds of them were going on, it seemed like UCLA was among the most violent, if not the most violent.
Yeah, the protesters were the one who started the whole thing. There's no way that the police started this whole situation.
How did you look their list of demands, too?
Yeah, it's just a vegan options, yeah. My gosh. You know what? Some things in my generation I'm not proud of. One of those options is a vegan option when it comes to meals, I will admit.
guys, those M&Ms you wanted, was that plain or peanut? We want to do this right.
And what color was it? Just green ones, right?
Okay. You're right. Yeah, it's just green for the Green New Deal.
Yeah, that's right. So, the interesting thing, too, the University of California Police Union is blaming the UCLA administrators for how the protesters got violent on campus protesting. Good. I say good. They deserve it.
Absolutely. They are the ones emboldening them.
Exactly. USC did a great job saying, you need to get off our campus. UCLA did not. They said, oh, they have the right to be there. They have the right
now,
to.
Now, I heard, and this has gone on several campuses, where the president did stand up to the protesters and did expel some of them. And then the faculty got together and did a no confidence vote to get them removed.
That's terrible.
The faculty are almost 100% behind this. Well, outside agitators too, but the faculty is very culpable.
See, I was on the president's side here again, the presidents of the campuses, because then you get media attention on top of you, and you don't want that right now unless you're doing it in a more positive manner.
Well, most of them have been emboldening them, but then the few that have the courage and do something, then they get kicked off their campus by their faculty. This is just horrible.
Here's
Brendan.
Another one. Ole Miss University, they had some protesters that happened over there. They had 30 protesters versus, they said, 100. And this is the mainstream media reporting this. They had 100 white protesters who had Trump flags and American flags. Guess who they report as being the villains in the situation?
Yes, and of course, you never see them go to Trump rallies and see people holding up signs saying blacks for Trump or right. Women for Trump.
No, that
like
doesn't
that.
Exist in their realm.
No, their narrative.
So here's what the story was. So the 30 protesters went up to those counter protesters and they were shouting at them, down with Jews, kill all the Jews, to them. That is what the report of the video that shows that evidence. The white protesters were counting back by yelling out monkeys and making monkey gestures at the other protesters. Now, neither side is right in their own area for sure. But the fact that the mainstream media is only reporting that the fact that the white people were doing those monkey gestures and everything, that's just horrendous. If you want good journalism, stick with the actual news that has to do with both sides of the argument. That way we are an informed public instead of making it slanted that way.
No, these organizations are delivered their talking points and their agenda.
Last thing I wanted to say too about the protests, UC San Diego still has their situation going on over there. They had to cancel, is it the Sun Festival, I think it's called, recently because of how many protesters there were. Growing in numbers, higher and higher and higher. According to the La Jolla Light, they said that UC San Diego's upcoming fall semester is supposed to hit a record of 96,300 students that are going to be coming in. According to the article, they say that the main reason why they're getting an uptick is how the campus has made these protesters stay in a peaceful manner. That does not make any sense to me. I think it's just because UC San Diego is doing a good job just getting the right people and having good sports to advertise for themselves, because they've been doing well in sports. But I have,
well,
I
have they been peaceful protests or have they been violent?
So far, they've been peaceful.
They've been peaceful. Uh-huh. Okay.
But I'm surprised that UC San Diego hasn't stated, oh, we need to tear this down, because according to some reports, it's starting to get a little bit rowdy.
Of course, here's my question. Are they peacefully screaming for the annihilation of Jews around the
right world?
I don't consider that very
That's
peaceful.
Not peaceful. No, of course not. But the news isn't going to report on that part. So I'm very disappointed to see how some campuses are doing. And I didn't hear the news about how faculty are trying to vote the chancellors or the presidents of these campuses out. That's just
Well, the faculty is very culpable because these students aren't getting these ideas in a vacuum.
I think it's maybe the fact that the faculty has that direct connection with those students who are upset. The chancellor doesn't. He's got that indirect situation where he's more focused on the safety of the students and the safety of the faculty that go on to these campuses. The faculty are just more indirect with that relationship.
Well,
with the students
traditionally have looked up to faculty and wanted to emulate them.
Exactly. So moving on to some more sad stories. Some more businesses are closing down left and right.
Oh no, what is it this time?
Well, this time it's a bunch of teen clothes and one men's store, which is Express, the men's clothing store. They're closing down. The teen store is called Rue 21.
I've heard of both of them, or I've seen them in malls.
Yeah, exactly.
Say.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's a shame that malls are starting to get more.
Yeah,
more.
Is the day going to come where you can't buy anything unless it's off of Amazon?
Yeah, we were talking on Gun Owners Radio off the air about how we should switch the malls into like a Gen Z retirement home. So that way people can reminisce all their feelings of like, oh, I went to this Sears over here. Oh, I went to this little department store over here.
Wow. Yeah, end of an era.
I know. And shout out to a local restaurant in Little Italy. The guy who owns it is named Sam the Cooking Guy. He's a local big celebrity chef here in San Diego. His restaurant's going to close down too, but he's got...
Is this still residual from COVID, do you think?
No,
or just
no.
The economy in general right
just
now?
Just the economy. I mean, everything costs so much and they have to raise the prices on everything else, but Panera is still okay. Don't worry about them.
Oh,
they'll
yeah,
be fine.
Yeah. You give a donation to the governor, you're going to come through this just fine.
Isn't it interesting how that kind of works out? So again, I'm very disappointed to know that I can't tell my son, oh, we're going to go walk to this department store and try on these clothes. Instead, I got to go shop online for everything because it takes the fun out of the whole thing. And again, maybe I'm just
It does. And at Christmas time, when all my friends and family are going online to buy things, I love walking around the malls, or I have up to now.
Yeah.
I like the decorations. I like listening to the music. Mm-hmm. I like going into the stores and browsing. I'm not usually a shopper, but Christmas time, I love doing that. And yet it's happening less and less. Yeah.
And the direct face-to-face interaction that you get with other
yes.
people at the store too is fun too. So it's a shame. It's a real shame. So coming up, I got a couple of one. It's a fun story, and the other one I think is going to be an interesting conversation to have with you to see your opinion on the
okay.
story.
So all right,
we'll take a break and we'll come back with more of the Bob Siegel Show.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
Siegel Show. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, we have some happy news finally for you.
Oh,
here.
Oh, good.
So, okay, so there is a TV channel. I don't know if you happen to watch it anytime, but it's called MeTV. They usually show a lot of retro shows on that time.
Oh, yeah, so. It's like television heaven. You can watch the old Star Trek, Lost in Space, The Time Tunnel, the Andy Griffith Show, Dick Van Dyke. Of course, they're all cut and edited, which I absolutely hate.
Yeah, I understand. And
I'm one of those people that'll always remember what was cut.
I remember, like, there was an old TV network called TV Land, where
yes.
they would show
well,
these
they still
old
have
shows.
TV Land, but they don't show as many of the old shows there anymore. That's kind of been taken over by MeTV.
It's now like more like King of Queens and Two and a Half Men, which is fine,
but
something about those old classic shows, you know, I never get tired of watching them and reliving some of the memories that not only I have with them, but my parents, whenever I watch MeTV, I like to hear what their memory is, or even my grandmother, too. She watches it, and she'll let me know some of those memories. So MeTV has announced that they're going to come out with a brand new TV channel coming out this June, and they claim that it's going to be commercial free and they have unedited cartoons.
Now, they
well.
Used to have a cartoon network. Do they not have
they
that
still
anymore?
Do, and they still have another channel called Boomerang, which shows some of these classic shows. But like I said, those ones are now edited too.
Now, what about some of the cartoons that have been cancel cultured, like Speedy Gonzales, Pepe Le Pew? Are they still going to have those?
Apparently, MeTV has announced they are going to be showing those.
Oh,
but
good for them.
I cannot
so sick
confirm.
And tired of the cancel culture.
Yeah, and once again, I'm disappointed that Speedy Gonzales is one of those characters I got canceled because Mexican culture actually celebrates that character.
Usually the people that do these protests are not the ones that are being so-called violated, like with sports teams when they name themselves after Native Americans.
The
Native Americans usually love that.
Yeah, the Redskins.
Yeah, it's the bleeding heart liberals that are going out and protecting them and saying, quit doing us a favor, guys. Leave it alone.
Literally, the Indian tribe is suing the actual team so they can convert their name back to the Redskins right now. Of course they're celebrating that point, and they never found it offensive. They really enjoy the fact that they're celebrating that kind of culture still in today's society. But instead, now we got to be called the Washington Commanders. It just sounds weird.
For Pete's sakes.
So here are some of the shows that MeTV Tunes is the name of the channel that we'll say they are going to be showing. Looney Tunes, absolute classic.
Which are the best.
Yes.
I mean, I appreciate Walt Disney, but the Looney Tunes were so much funnier.
Yeah, and I would honestly say they kind of pushed the grounds a lot more than what Disney was doing back in the day, too.
Well, Disney was the first one to sync sound with animation, so you got to give them credit. But Mickey's one of the most boring cartoon characters I've ever seen in my life. But I'll still give Disney the kudos for the innovation and the groundbreaking thing that he did.
I can agree on that. Also, Tom and Jerry will be on the channel. I can also say that is an absolute classic. Scooby-Doo. I'm a personal fan of Scooby-Doo.
I never cared for Scooby-Doo. He was a lift. He was taken from Astro from the Jetsons. That's where the voice came from. Oh, right, Roach. And I thought Astro was much funnier. So I always resented Scooby. Of course, they were both made by Hanna-Barbera, so I guess they were only ripping themselves off.
Right, but. And I would say that Scooby-Doo, at least adding that mystery aspect compared to the sitcom aspect, actually gave it a lot more flavor, so therefore I was more kind of intrigued.
I liked the opening theme song that they had for about 3 weeks before they replaced it with that stupid Scooby-Dooby-Doo, Where Are You song. Probably you could go to YouTube and play the original theme song.
Okay.
It had a spooky sound to it, which I thought was much better.
I don't mind the 60s. It's a campy show. with a campy theme song, so I'll defend the campy song. Oh, but
that's Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? Oh, I hated it.
This next show, I never really liked. Maybe you might have. Josie and the Pussycats. I never liked that show.
I don't think I even watched it. I remembered when it was on. They made a movie out of that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't they make a live-action movie out of the cartoon Josie and
the Pussycats? And it was PG-13. Right.
Not all of our favorites. Like, if they're going to play everything, then we got to sit through the bad ones that we don't want. Yeah.
The Jetsons are going to come back, too.
I love the Jetsons. The Flintstones, people don't realize the Flintstones was a cartoon that was made for adults and was one of the, I think it was the first cartoon ever played during prime time.
Yeah, and I would also say it's one of the first animated sitcoms as well, because everyone likes to think, oh, the Simpsons did it first or something like that. No, the Flintstones were very
well,
ahead
and
of
it was
time.
A takeoff of the Honeymooners. Barney Rubble was just like Ed Norton, and Fred Flintstone was just like Jackie Gleason. Wilma looked like his wife, Alice. It was really a version, an animated version of the Honeymooners.
But personally, my favorite part of the Flintstones, which, by the way, they do say they are going to show the Flintstones on the channel, is the animals. Well, it's a living or something. I love those jokes. They always make me crack up. Some other cartoons include Top Cat, which I like as well.
Yeah,
I think that was a cool show.
I remember
show.
Top Cat.
Popeye, an absolute classic.
Yeah, I loved Popeye when I was a kid. It's like with Looney Tunes, I find them funnier as an adult than I did when I was a kid. Popeye, just the opposite. I can't stand Popeye now. When I was a little kid, but you know what? When I used to watch Popeye on black and white TV, this was in the 50s, I thought his can of spinach looked like a can of applesauce. So in my mind, spinach was going to be like applesauce, and I begged my mother to serve me spinach so I could have spinach like Popeye. I'm like 5 years old during this story. She cooks some spinach and puts it on my plate. I just screamed bloody murder, and I refused to eat it.
I remember back in the day, I don't know if they still have it in stores, they have Popeye branded spinach, and I thought that was the only spinach that could make me super strong like Popeye, so I would kept having that. And I just
watch it, Brutus, that's my girl.
Now, is the reason why you don't like Popeye is because there's always talking every single moment. There's not even a quiet moment.
It's always the same. It's, although I guess you could say Sylvester and Tweety's always the same too, but it's funny. I guess it just gets back to taste.
I think at least they do different situations in each episode. Like one
but
minute
he's
Popeye
a spineless weakling till he has one can of spinach and then he can take Bluto and knock him to the moon.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I still have some fun with it. There was a show I used to watch back in the 90s. It was called Freakazoid, and it was like a play on Superman. It was a lot more parody-like, and Steven
Spielberg
was behind
it. Sounds vaguely familiar, but I never saw it.
It's very, very good. I like that one. Yogi Bear. I love Yogi Bear.
Smarter than the average bear.
I didn't know you could do a Yogi Bear. Okay, boo-boo.
All right, boo-boo. Where's the ranger?
Johnny Quest. I was okay with
Johnny
Quest.
I liked Johnny Quest. Now, I'm trying to remember. There's some well-known actor that voiced Johnny Quest, but offhand, I can't think
of who
he was now.
I'm surprised they're bringing that one back, because technically I think that show was canceled because of the Indian
because he had an Indian friend and they were friends, so what was so offensive about
I know.
That?
Yeah, but
his Indian
like
friend
that.
Was a good guy and he was a smart guy, but
he often saved the day too with Johnny, so
it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Rocky and Bullwinkle, I'm always happy to have them back. Woody Woodpecker didn't like at all.
He was aggravating.
Yeah. Casper, boy,
I loved Casper as a kid, hated him as an adult, just like with some of the others. Mm-hmm.
Inspector Gadget, which
my
again,
kids now okay. I didn't watch that. My kids grew up on Gadget. What I did like is it was voiced by Don Adams, who did Get Smart, and he also did another animated show, Tennessee Tuxedo.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there's another very famous voice actor too, who's done plenty of work that's voiced Inspector Gadget, especially in the 90s. And I'm trying to remember his name, but he also did The Brain in Pinky and the Brain, and he did some other shows too that were like,
of course, almost every Looney Tune was done by the same person, Mel.
The Man
Blank.
With 100 Voices. Yeah. Mel Blanc.
Did you ever see the ad that Variety took out when Mel Blanc died?
No. What was that?
Oh, you got to go on the internet and take a look. It showed all the cartoon characters, the Looney cartoon, and they were standing solemnly with their heads bowed respectfully. And there was a spotlight on a microphone, but there was nobody speaking in the microphone. And it said voiceless. And then it commemorated Mel Blanc.
That sounds really nice.
Oh my gosh, that was touching.
I went to his gravesite in Hollywood. And it has some of the etchings of some of the characters that he voiced on the actual thing. So that's very nice too.
That is nice.
Yeah. We also have Betty Boop. I didn't really watch her show back
then.
Yeah,
that boy, Betty Boop, that's almost a contemporary of Mickey Mouse. In fact, she was a silent cartoon originally, and then they voiced her.
Yeah. And then Speed Racer, I get how it's so funny how it's just a still frame most of the time.
I don't think I've ever seen Steel Racer. I've heard of it.
Speed
Racer. Well, yeah, still, yeah. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a show where a lot of the action is solid objects that are moving across the screen and the tires aren't even moving. That's how cheap the animation is and everything.
Wow.
So, but I think it's still fun. Last one, I know this is a very controversial one because I personally like it and I know a lot of people hate it because maybe they find it offensive. Mr. Magoo is going to come back. I liked Mr. Magoo. I thought the situation
okay, so he had trouble seeing and he bumped into things. The whole idea behind, have you heard some of the things Jerry Seinfeld has been saying about the death of comedy? He's really been coming on. And I completely agree with him. Some things are just susceptible to humor and people don't necessarily mean anything offensive.
You're right.
I'll give you an example. The Dick Van Dyke Show. Okay, that was created by Carl Reiner, who was bald and wore a toupee when he was doing the show. He had a character in there named Mel Cooley, who was bald, and they had all kinds of bald jokes. Now, you could take offense, but then when you realize that it's a bald guy writing these jokes, you just see his sense of humor.
Right. Well, the near side. No, I'm just joking. I'm only joking. No, but going back to Mr. Magoo, I think we can all agree on one thing. The live action movie is not funny in the slightest.
Well, the live action versions of any of these, they made that Rocky and Bullwinkle movie. That was horrible.
I loved it. And we will have a debate till the end of the day.
Oh my gosh. With Whoopi Goldberg as the judge going, Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Are you telling me you weren't laughing when Robert De Niro was doing his taxi? Are you talking to me? I was loving that scene.
I only saw it once on TV with commercials. Perhaps if I'd experienced it in the theater like you did, I would have had a better experience.
I have that copy of that movie still. I will review
it. As a general rule, I can't stand when they take an old TV show and they remake it.
Well, let me see, because I'm trying to think.
Leave It to Beaver was one that they remade. It was the worst movie in the world, and I knew it would be, and I refused to see it. And one day I was flipping through the channels, and just like something like 1 minute of it came on, and just in that 1 minute, it vindicated everything I knew they were going to do in that movie.
Dennis the Menace? I think that's good.
Dennis the Menace, I thought, was a good cartoon. Now, Dennis the Menace as a TV show, I have to say, I experienced the TV show first as a kid and didn't even realize it came from a comic strip. So, in some ways, I couldn't fairly judge that one.
Okay. And then there's that Brendan Fraser one, I think, where he was a Mountie. I'm trying to remember the name of that movie now.
Talking about Dudley Do-Right?
Yeah, he was in Dudley Do-Right.
Now, that was a hilarious cartoon. I never saw the movie remake of it. Brendan Fraser's a good actor.
Very though. First half of the movie is a great parody of the actual TV show. The second half, I don't know. I think the writers got lost and they're like, I don't know what to do anymore. We've written all of our plot points and we only made it 45 minutes into the movie.
A lot of times they start as real scripts and then the producers take over based on what they think is going to sell or what's a more marketable ending.
Right. So this is going to be a free over-the-air channel. However, because it's still brand new and everything, they haven't announced which locations are going to have the channel yet. So we'll wait and see. But those are just some of the many shows that they're
saying. Completely unedited.
Yes.
And none of the canceled cartoons are going to be canceled on this.
Correct.
Network.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
That so I'm sure is good news.
Yeah. Because I think we still need to have those things to this day.
Absolutely.
Even if you think it's a time and a place of those things, we still watch plenty of other things that go along with that.
Absolutely.
Last thing I have for us when we have a few more minutes, an elementary school in Lafayette, Indiana has announced that they are going to change their schedule for the upcoming academic year. Instead of being 5 days a week, 8:15 to 2:30 p.m., they're going to be Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. This is an ongoing trend where they're trying to make Friday, Saturday, and Sunday completely weekends now for people, and the workday should be
now,
Monday
what is
Thursday.
Their reason? Well, here's my first question.
Go
Are the
it.
Teachers that were paid for doing 5 days a week going to get paid the exact same salary for 4 days a week? Because I'll eat my hat if they aren't.
Well, get ready to eat your hat because they are going to have pay cut there.
So. Well, okay. Well, then at least that part of it is okay. What's their rationale? Why did they think students need a three-day weekend?
They
every
think
weekend?
That they're overworking the children when it comes to the schedule. So having a
Couldn't
4 day
week.
Couldn't they
just not work them as hard on the individual day? Have a little less homework?
Why are you putting in logic in public schools? What are you doing, Bob? Yeah. This is crazy
now,
talk.
I shouldn't complain because that means 1 day a week where they're not getting gender studies and learning their pronouns. I should be happy, I guess.
Well,
they could close them down completely and I'd be ecstatic.
Unfortunately, they're still reading really slanted textbooks where they're saying, oh, well, specifically, this is only what the Civil War was about and that's it. And this is all that.
Yeah, nothing
all the presidents,
with any nuance.
Yeah, all the presidents were racist back before 1800 and that was it. Everyone owned a slave and you
Except that everyone didn't own a slave, and many of them spoke out against slavery. John Adams was vehemently against slavery, and he was our second president.
But that's our
and a signer of the Declaration of Independence.
True, but that's our public
doesn't fit the narrative.
Nope.
Yep.
At public school, that's what you're going to do, I guess. Personally, I hate this fact because I'm thinking this is just our generation, my generation specifically, getting lazier and lazier and lazier. I heard about this whole 4-day week thing. We already have plenty of corporations that have said, oh, we only want to work from home. They're already giving you that. Why do you want even less than that and more pay? This is just ridiculous.
And look how many people are being incentivized to not work at all because they're getting free money from the government.
Right, exactly.
There is something in the human being, in the human condition that needs to work.
Right.
That's something they talked about in church this morning. I thought it was a really good message.
And I don't want to be this guy, but I'm going to be this guy. I went to school 5 days a week. I went to school from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
You're getting old, Brendan. But you know what? I'm not a person that says it's right or wrong based on whether it's modern or whether it happened before. Every practice should be looked at in its own right. If it was a good thing to do, then it doesn't matter if they did it before. If it's still good, I don't believe in change for change's sake. That's for sure.
Okay. I will just finish up my statement again before I'm going to get interrupted. I was 5 days a week, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. I grew up just fine. I don't care about a family background or anything. Everyone works 5 days a week still. Until work society themselves, not specifically schools, work society themselves says, okay, we're going to switch to a 4-day, you're going to go the Bernie Sanders route of 4 days a week, $50 per hour pay, basically. I can't do a Bernie Sanders impression.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders, the socialist who owns 3 homes. Yeah. My heart just bleeds for Bernie.
Yeah, it's like a free ride, but you already paid. Isn't it ironic, Bernie? I'm against this personally. They said that they're still going to have meetings to fully discuss more information about this if they're interested in going. I hope parents protest against this and say we do want the 5 days, and hopefully teachers do too. They should be able to not get a pay cut on their paychecks and actually work the full 5 days.
I can't believe teachers are in favor of a pay cut. There's got to be some other way they're getting
I don't think teachers were in favor of this. I think this is just a board situation.
Well, I'm with you on this, Brendan, but once again, I would just add the caveat that if I cared what they were teaching in these schools anymore, then I'd care more that they've cut back to 4 days a week. Based on what they're teaching, as far as I'm concerned, they should cut to no days a week.
That's right. Bob, thank you so much for our wonderful
Brendan,
night.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. We'll catch everyone next week.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.